Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Nairobi Sisterhood. I am Gina and I'm here with my bestie,
Maya Mushemi.
Mm-hmm. And today we are about to get in each other's business a little bit.
Too much.
A little bit, just a bit, because we want to talk about self-sabotage and how we have self-sabotaged. Ready to get too deep into it, because I know I'd be doing some things.
What is about to be like a therapy session for real? Because what is this?
You know, legitimately, we have tissues somewhere here in the back because it's wholesome. We want to involve you and you guys as well. So yeah. If you feel like you relate to something, make sure you leave a comment down below and let's get into it.
Yeah.
What is self-sabotage?
My definition of self-sabotage is, I really need to stop thinking about these things on the spot. I should have Googled.
Literally, we've been knowing that we are talking about self-sabotage and we've been sat here for a while before we started shooting.
But
you could have Googled it.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing.
So self-sabotage is not Googling the things that you know you should have Googled before. Looked up before you get on the episode.
Not usually me. Nah, for real. Self-sabotaging behavior refers to intentional action or inaction that undermines people's progress and prevents them from accomplishing their goals. So in other words, for me, I would think self-sabotage is when I do something or don't do something that counters my achievements of my goals and dreams as a person.
So basically, doing or not doing something that holds you back or like basically stops you from reaching your goals.
Yes.
Self-sabotage can come up in relationships, at work, basically in all aspects of your life.
Yeah.
So give us instances. Or at least
categories. We start with like maybe at work and then we move to
we can do whatever.
Okay, relationship, that's what I mean. Like could we maybe,
I don't think we need to, but if you wanna break it down, for sure, go for it.
So an instance that I self-sabotage. I think I didn't realize self-sabotage was a thing until maybe for me, the first time I ever realized the self-sabotage, but it wasn't even self-sabotage intentionally, it was so subconscious. Was I think I was in primary school.
Yeah.
And
baby sabotager.
I'm telling you, the younger Maya was, I don't know. I think we had these races. Like, you know the way you compete and then you get like a medal at the end.
Yeah.
And when I had a friend. Oh, I hope she's not going to take this the wrong way. I had a friend of mine who was like a really good runner. Also, you know, I feel like this is stereotypical, but Kalis and running, they are the fastest people ever.
Very stereotypical, but you know it's usually true for many of them.
No, she was really fast.
Okay.
And so we had this race and I feel like it was her thing. To be like a good runner.
Okay.
And I remember we had a particular race where I was about to win, but I was like, like I literally slowed down. Then I was like, okay, now I can run.
So you slowed down to let her pass you?
Yeah. One of them. Not many. No, I feel like she was.
You slowed down to let that girl pass you?
Yeah.
Is that self-sabotage? Why did
it was self-sabotage because I just didn't want to.
Why didn't you want to win?
Many reasons. I feel like one, it was her thing. She was my friend. Two, I was already good at something else.
So you feel like she wasn't good at other things. This was her thing and you didn't want to take that away from her.
Honestly, it was just like, it's okay. I don't know. I didn't think it was a competition not worth winning. I don't know how to explain it. Like it didn't matter to me. You know, the way when you realize something matters to someone else more than it matters to you, then you're just like, okay.
Then is it really self-sabotage because it didn't take anything away from you other than not being number one?
Yeah, but what was that about? Like, it wasn't necessary. I feel like
Figure out if I was a parent and then my child told me they did this, what would my reaction be? Because on the one hand, you were also trying to take care of your friend in one sense and you didn't care about it enough. What do you mean she didn't need it?
Like she didn't need to be taken care of.
Yeah,
like
she didn't. It wasn't for you to take care of her.
Exactly. Yeah. It was one of those ones for like, what was that about? I don't know how to explain it.
That is
like
very interesting. Wow.
It was unnecessary. I feel like now when I look back, I'm like, oh, bless that girl. Like bless me in that age. But also what is going on, sweetie?
That's very interesting. Because I'm a very competitive person. For people who've experienced me.
For those of us who've suffered.
If you are a loser, you will suffer. I can't believe Maya and I were on the same team for this game and she was against me. I don't even understand how we're on the same team when you're fighting me and I am pro winning.
I wasn't fighting anybody.
How she was
I just wasn't as committed to the win.
Then don't be on my team. The hell? What do you mean?
Are you seeing the problem? The people I have to deal with.
It's your choice. It's actually your choice. The reason I'm not understanding this is because I'm very much a, you know, if I can win it, I will try and win it.
Yeah.
So I was trying to understand, like, where was your mindset when you were letting her win?
But also, you see, and that's exactly it. Because you're a winner and you like winning,
yeah.
It is a form of self-sabotage because yes. That was unnecessary. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was a self-sabotage, yeah. But then you made it an emotional thing that made sense to you.
I guess it made sense to you at the time.
But that was an aspect of self-sabotage. Sometimes you do something to consider someone else when really you don't need to.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? In terms of, not even necessarily in that situation, because that was me.
Yeah, that was your child and it was a game and it passed and it's whatever. It didn't have a big impact, but even in our adult lives.
My teacher noticed though, because I remember, I only noticed it because he pointed it out. Mm-hmm. Because he said, I saw what you did, don't do that again. You understand?
Yeah.
And it was one of those ones for, okay, noted.
Damn, okay.
But you see, before, when I did it, it was so subconscious.
Interesting.
That I didn't pick it. But then when he pointed it out, I was like, oh, so it was a thing. Like, I didn't imagine that I did that.
But you did.
It actually happened enough for someone to notice.
At this, how old were you?
I was in class 7 or 8.
Okay.
Yeah. Class 7, maybe 6, between 6 and 8 there. I can't remember the exact age.
Because my earliest memory of self-sabotage is actually pretty, not that time period of primary, but in high school.
Yeah.
Academically, I am not intellectually challenged.
Uh-huh.
For lack of a better phrase. And all through my academic life up to high school,
yeah.
I never really struggled, never really needed to put in that much effort to be well above average, like top 2-3.
Yeah.
But in high school, I don't know, it was a mix of trying to be rebellious because I knew it was important to my parents that I do well in school.
Yeah.
And I didn't, sorry, mom, dad, people might watch this. And I didn't care enough to appease them in that moment because
yeah.
I was in that phase of life where you try and do everything that you're not supposed to. But I was never the go out and party and be drunk and do unruly things. So my way of rebelling was not studying and not putting in effort. And basically even without putting in effort, I was just average.
Yeah.
I was not below average.
Yeah.
Except in maths because I don't like maths and I really...
It's okay.
But even that, I was also in a good school which made my being bad seem worse than it was when really it was not. It was just average.
Yeah.
Meaning if I had put in even a little bit of effort, I would have been well above average. And eventually I was after like closer to the end of my high school. But that was my way of self-sabotage because I was trying to punish someone else.
Oh my God, imagine, why can I relate to this?
Why can I relate to this? And I did all the things that I needed to do, like all the other extracurricular activities that were available to me in high school. I did them and I made sure my academics were good enough that I could keep doing those things, but not good enough to make my parents happy.
He was a toxic child.
I was reacting to something.
To be fair, everything
I was reacting to something. I didn't raise myself.
Actions are sometimes a reaction to something. So for sure.
Yeah, I think I was also seeking attention. And that's how I knew I would get it.
Mm.
But even then, I still didn't think I got it the way I wanted. I didn't get the attention that I wanted.
Oh, bless you, babes.
But anyway,
that's so interesting. Because I think for me, my grades in...
Mm-hmm.
High school were affected by the system. In terms of, let me explain. So in Kenya, for those who are not Kenyan, it's 8-4-4. So it's 8 years in primary, 4 years in...
It was.
I don't know about currently. CBC. Also, I'm done with school. So, oops. And I don't have kids. So I don't even have little siblings. I'm the last one. So,
when we were in school. In our age.
Guy, that is really making us feel old.
Who's us? You keep saying this us thing when you talk about age. Who is us?
Okay, making me feel old.
Uh-uh.
Apologies. Apologies. Okay, anyway. When I was in getting an education, it was 8 years in primary, 4 years in high school, and then 4 years in high school, then 4 years in uni.
Yeah.
Standard. Okay, you can do a course that's longer than 4 years, but you understand the average is 4 years. So when I finished class 8, when you finish, you do your final exams for primary education in class 8, and you get posted to a high school, either a national high school, a provincial high school, district, or whatever. It's in levels.
Yeah.
So the better schools are the national schools. And most of the people who end up going to national schools are people who get like like 400 and above. Also, that's what we was the case. Thought. That was the system back then.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it was our year,
we had the they changed the system,
yeah. And then they did a standardization thing where if you were in a private school and you got good grades, it's not enough to get you to a
national school.
So they give opportunities to people who are less privileged. So maybe if you went to a public school and you got, let's say, 350 and above, you're more likely to end up in a public in a national school than someone who's in a private school who got that 400 and above.
Yeah.
So of course, I went through the system. I went to a private school and I got my 400 and above, and then I didn't get called to a national school.
Yeah.
And at 14, it didn't make sense. I feel like that was my first encounter with failure, and it wasn't even a failure on my part. It was a failure.
You felt like the system failed you.
I feel like the system failed me or punished me for being born where I was born, which was not my...
It wasn't your choice.
It wasn't my choice.
Yeah.
So...
You felt like you're being punished for your privilege.
Exactly. So I got called to a school and then I went to check it out and I looked at it and I was like, damn, first of all, where are the windows?
You can say it, we can bleep it out.
Chania Girls.
Okay.
So, because I was in a primary school in Juja.
Mm-hmm.
So I was called to a provincial school in the
same county. Yeah.
It was a provincial school, but it's a provincial school I didn't know. And me, I wanted to go to Kenya High. So I don't even understand what's going on. Like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, even call me to like PB Rirouta or something.
Yeah.
You know, call me to a school I know at the very least. Now being called to a school I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was devastating for me. I feel like younger me needed a hug, but it's okay.
What did you get from your caregivers at that time? Like, when you were feeling like this, how were your parents?
They were very supportive. I mean, that's all they could be. Because there's nothing they could do about it. You know, even them, the system has played them because they thought...
That taking you to a good private school so that you can get good grades will mean that you'd get to a good national school.
Exactly. So they tried getting me to another school, which is a provincial school in Nairobi, which I went to, but was still culture shock. Because also the private school I went to in primary, there were no washing dishes. There was no... Like, you get, like, it was a good private school.
So
I didn't have to struggle with some things. So now going to a... Like, there was culture for me... Culture shock was culture shock. So for me, my grades were affected because I remember being in this school and my parents thinking it was a good school. I mean, it was okay. I think besides me adjusting, it was a good school.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember not wanting to pass because I didn't want to stay there. And of course, even at a issue in public school in Chukua, of course it took me because of my grades. You know, the way they take people who are not on their list, but they take you anyway because they know you're going to be the top people at the end of KCSE, one of those things. And I remember my first exam I did and I was like top 2 out of, like, I didn't even realize classes could have that many people who are like 300. Like, brah, let me tell you, I think culture shock for me was real. So then the next term, because I am struggling with adjusting, I didn't even bother to put effort in my grades because obviously automatically in Tapita, I started getting B's. The school is asking, why did this girl get a B?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know what I mean?
She's brilliant.
It became one of those things. Yeah. So, but then I was not even committed to passing anymore. I just wanted to leave that school. So now for me, it was a way for me to exit.
You wanted to exit that school.
But I think it wasn't the right way to go about it. I could have passed and still been like... But there was a...
But
like,
you think you... Because sometimes I wonder, like, sometimes the things we do as children to seek that attention and to try and communicate something is because we do it because we feel like if we actually verbally communicated it, we wouldn't be heard.
Yeah.
Do you think if you had sat your parents down and been like, by the way, I'm not feeling this cool, I want to leave, what do you think the reaction would have been the same? Do you think they would have been like, okay, let's find you another school?
Imagine, maybe they would, because I don't understand what that was. Like, I think they would. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wouldn't have been easy. I don't think it would have been let me sit, tell them I hate this school, then I bounce. No, I don't think it would have been
That's interesting.
A communication thing would have worked, but my sister did end up moving schools several times.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was things she just came home and said, this and this happened at school and my parents were like, that's not right. Then they moved her. You get, it wasn't a fight.
It didn't need to go down the way it went down.
It didn't need to go down the way it went down for me, I think.
Okay.
It was an unnecessary sell. One thing about me, my self-sabotage is unnecessary.
But there's never... unnecessary self-sabotage. That's the point. If you do something and it's necessary, it's because either you're trying to protect yourself. If it's necessary, then is it self-sabotage?
Okay.
Yeah, that's my question. Yeah. So that was, I guess, in the academic context.
Yeah.
And then now coming back to as an adult in relationships.
Maybe you start us off because I'm trying to think of something.
And that's it for us. That's it from us today. It's been a lovely episode, guys. Catch us on the next one.
What instances do you think you self-sabotage?
I think, obviously, in the love episode, I mentioned basically becoming an avoidant person, and I am not an avoidant person, and not communicating. But like, to not repeat that, to not repeat that same story,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of another instance when I have self-sabotaged. I don't think I actively self-sabotage, or like, other than that instance when I noted that I could
did
have done
it, did it intentionally.
Yeah, and this person would have been good for me. The other instances are usually just, I don't actually do it, but I catch myself when I feel like it's about to happen. So when I feel myself starting to detach, when I feel myself not wanting to communicate anymore, when I feel myself all of a sudden, nimekatch, I am mad. I'm mad at you. I do not know why I am mad at you. I am just mad at you.
Not that I don't know why I'm mad at you, but I'm mad at you.
So previously, and I think even like in my previous relationship, I would really project those insecurities in such a way that instead of communicating and be like, I'm feeling insecure about you going out every night because it makes me feel like you're with other people. I wouldn't say that. I would just be angry the entire time. And then next time we spoke, even if it had nothing to do with the thing that I'm mad about, I'd just be moody and be very be difficult like to communicate with. Yeah, very passive aggressive.
Oh, no.
So now I catch
myself. Sorry to that man.
Whatever he is. This is not about him.
True. It's not about him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now I catch myself when I'm in that space where I feel triggered. Instead of being passive aggressive, I ask myself, why am I feeling like this?
Yeah.
If there's a valid reason, like if someone has actually done something that either annoys me or has triggered me in a way that they could have helped. Because sometimes people trigger you without knowing. And it's not even, it's not intentional.
You're not even sure. You didn't realize that was a trigger, but then it's now triggered. You didn't even realize it was a wound, but now they've done something. Now you're like, hey,
way, what are you living through that?
But, oh my God, that is such a reality.
Yeah, so now I ask myself, like, is it actually valid? Is it... have they actually done something, or am I also just being triggered by imagining that they will do something?
Yeah, okay.
So if I'm imagining that, if the trigger is coming from my head, it's coming from me thinking, oh, you will do this, oh, you will not respond, oh, you will leave me, oh,
you'll cheat. Whatever it is.
Then I don't usually confront the other person about it because that's a me problem.
Yeah.
You've not done anything.
Yeah.
But if there's an action, if you've actually said something that has made me feel a type of way, I will tell you. And okay. I might not tell you immediately because I also know sometimes I'm very charged. So instead of telling you in that moment when I'm feeling all these emotions, I'll give it some time. And then, especially the giving it some time also means that if I'm still feeling it after a few hours, then legitimately it is something I am feeling. And it's not,
you're not,
it's not hormones, it's not PMS, because also that's a thing. So that
real.
Very, very real thing.
For
so
real.
Then I confront it and I'm like, yeah, you said this and this,
and it made me feel like this
and like that. When previously I'd just be like, well, you hate me and you want me to die and you are seeing 3,000 other women. So
I hear you.
To be fair, actually, my insecurities are usually never around other people.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're usually around...
how that person perceives you as a
person. Yes, it's usually about me, not about other people.
I hear you. I think, proud of you for finding the why.
It's like, a journey.
Finding when you're self-sabotaging and dealing with it.
Yeah.
Effectively, as it should be.
Oh, now you're probably like such a good person to date.
Ugh,
not me peeping. I'm a girl. Why are you trying to date me?
I mean,
you have my number.
That's
a joke, by the way, just because people out here can take things out of
context. Yeah, but the one thing about this... do you know...
we are joking.
Now that we're even on that topic.
Uh-huh.
Do you know someone was telling me...
on the topic of lesbianism?
On the topic of same sex.
Yeah.
Relationships. Someone was telling me they think me and you have a thing, and I said, what is going on? Can't women just be friends? Like, are we not in the era where women can just be friends? Men can just be friends. Not everything is coitus. Not everything is genitals bumping into each other. As in, release us.
That statement is so exhausting because it makes me even wonder. You can't just be good to each other for the sake of being good to each other.
Like, you're just not a good human being.
It's...
unless there's sex in the
it's also triggering because in uni, in our friend group, because we were so close, everybody was always, there were always rumors about Maya and who, Gina and who, Gina and Maya, Gina and B and
so
who.
Unnecessary.
Can you guys just
chill?
Let people just be friends.
Please.
We are not one of those friend groups that...
we are sleeping with each other.
No,
please, we are not.
It's not.
It's not
let's calm down, please.
Anyway, so
I can't believe someone said that to
imagine,
you.
Imagine, and I've been told twice, and I was like, do you, like, are you insecure? Can I even ask this guy, do you like me? Because this, all these maswalis, they're not making sense.
I mean, I love you, but as a friend.
I know, me too. I'm like, sis. Anyway, an instance in a relationship where self-sabotaged, I think they're similar to yours.
Okay.
Where it's, something is going south, or I don't like the, actually mine now, where in the season of my life that I'm in, is the minute I start liking you, I'm out.
Oh, okay.
I can't, I'm not even giving it a chance to bloom. I'm like, I'm out.
You start smiling at that text and you're like, okay, blocked.
Literally, I posted a meme about that.
Because why?
Why am I smiling at my phone? Why do I like you? Where are you?
Oh my gosh, Maya.
Which is such a bad thing, because what if I find love and I'm just in a phase of my life where I'm like, no.
But you know, it's also okay to not be ready to find love.
It's okay. I think it is. But yeah, sometimes, you know, the way I've seen, I saw some meme the other day which said, God, if I reject my future husband, please give him persistence. Like,
that's, I think I saw something like that and I was like, that's a lot to ask.
But that's, it's true, because can you imagine if your trauma from your previous relationships prevents you from finding your partner because maybe you don't now believe in love, or you've been traumatized enough, now you're not even seeing the same sex, and your future partner was gonna be a man, now you're not even looking at men. Not that they are bad, but you understand, like, there's a way trauma can,
you see. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I don't agree because I don't think there's anything like meant to be.
Okay.
I don't think, I think if you're too traumatized to date, whoever you meet in that stage of your life was never meant to be for you.
Okay, I hear
you. So even if it so happens that you meet someone and they're perfect and either you reject them or you push them away. And even in my case when I self-sabotaged, I still don't think it was meant to be, because... Yeah. At that point in my life, the person that I was that time could never have dated him.
Oh, I love that. In fact, that mindset, I'm picking it up right this minute.
So I don't really believe it. Give someone persistence. Why are you keeping someone from a relationship that they could be truly happy in because you're not ready to heal?
Oof. And that's a word.
So, yeah, let's go to therapy.
Yes, go to therapy, please. Tumeshambiwa. But yeah, sometimes when I like someone, I'm like, and I'm out. Literally, I'll stop. I'll start detaching. Or even in a relationship, I'm a detached partner, which is not a good thing. So I can't tell whether that's also a form of self-sabotage.
What do you mean by detached partner?
I don't understand why we're meeting every day. I don't understand why we're meeting every week. Why am I seeing you every weekend? Like, I don't know. I need to find love, because this is giving problematic.
No, I don't know. I think you need to understand yourself. Sorry.
Okay.
Do you want my opinion? No, I think you need to understand yourself and what you need. Because maybe you are okay with meeting once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of person you are. So you need someone who's also okay with meeting once every... I don't think there's anything substantially wrong with not wanting to be in each other's spaces every time.
I think the only reason I think it's a problem is... Relationships, not that relationships are built on proximity, but they're built on a level of communication and consistent and meeting. Like, we are, what's it called? Not necessarily meeting, because long distance relationships work, but a certain level of intimacy comes from being physically together, in each other's space, or spending time together, or doing life together.
Yeah.
So what does, like, is doing life together practical if you're meeting once a month and you live in the same county?
I don't know. Okay. Personally, that wouldn't work for me.
You understand? But for I feel like I've been in a situation where that was okay with me and I didn't mind. I didn't even notice. Are you seeing? That's what I'm saying. I think to some extent, it's almost like self-sabotage, because you're never going to be fully attached to someone, or fully in...
What do you define as being fully attached?
I think that thing for doing life together.
Okay.
Yes.
And you don't... Is it that when you feel like you're starting to do life together with someone, you're like,
you're too much in my face. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. It's just this is a time I was talking to someone and we went on like 5 dates in 2 weeks, and I remember being like,
calm
I literally
down.
Told him,
We're doing too much.
We're doing too much. And then I didn't see him for like 2 weeks. Because why are we meeting that much? We're not relatives. What's going on? Like, we're not family. I don't know. It's just... I know it's weird, guys. I know it's not ideal.
I'm trying to not judge you.
Judge me. It's fine. I'm judging myself. Literally, my friends judge me all the time. Because there's a friend of mine who spoke to me and she was like, why are you like that? Like,
that's...
You can't... See, you just... Kubali kupendwa. Like, nini shida yako?
Yeah. But I think you will never really kubali kupendwa if you're not... comfortable with dating and showing love and showing emotion.
But that's the thing. I don't have a problem. Like, when I'm with you, I'm obsessed with you. Like, you are the love of my life. But when I'm not with you, I'm not with you.
How is your therapist doing?
I need to give her a call. I've abandoned
her. When is the last time you spoke to her?
It's been a minute.
Can I speak to her? I have a few things I need to say. I have a few things to bring up.
To bring up on my behalf? Yeah.
Yeah, no. I feel like maybe there are things you may not have tried to address.
But seriously, I feel like that's a form of self-sabotage. Because sometimes you just need to let people do it.
Yeah.
Like, no one is owing you because they've done it. I know, okay, of course, this is in this context of a pure, healthy, loving relationship. Not just any people out here. We don't know people. People are monsters sometimes. So I'm talking about the healthy, like a healthy relationship, a healthy love, a healthy partner. It's okay for this person to have your back. It's okay for this person to got you. It's okay for this person. You know what I mean? It's okay for this person to want to spend time with you. They actually like you.
I would want the person I'm with to want to spend time with me. Exactly. Otherwise, there's a problem.
Exactly. So I think I've self-sabotaged in that way. Besides the avoidant ones, where I avoid the story, avoid the conflict, I'm an avoidant. So besides those ones, I think the being disturbed by being wanted to be,
that is like, it's that, weird. That is, I feel like this was me but like 5 years ago.
Growth.
Right now what I usually feel when I start liking someone is, oh my god, they're gonna leave me.
You're such an anxious attacher. Because what is that?
Should I like this? It's like, fuck, I like this.
This is so interesting because you've said the total opposite of me. Like me, I'm like, why are you here?
So, but you see,
like,
you're both
why do you like me? What's going on?
So now I also need to make sure that my anxiety doesn't push someone away. So we're still managing. And also, like, it's okay to like someone.
Yeah.
And it's okay to express that you like them. It doesn't mean that once you express that you like them, that they will leave. And if they do, it's okay because they were not meant to be for you.
A period.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to say that your attachment style can also manifest in self-sabotage.
They can manifest in the self-sabotage.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, to end a therapy like anyway.
How do I feel attacked? Stop tagging me and you're right next to me. Anyway, what other instance is there self-sabotage? Let's see. We haven't at career, work.
Procrastination. I am the queen. Oh, no, she is the queen of procrastination, I am her deputy.
You said I take the crown. You're actually rude. It's true.
Actually,
it's true.
I want to call you out, and I don't know if this is going to make it on air. I feel like one way you self-sabotage. You can say one for me as well.
I'd have to think.
It's okay, you can think. But is the thing about not keeping time. And
I agree.
And I guilty. Think this runs into all sectors of life. Like, it literally runs into work, it runs into friendships. Because I was so mad at you on my birthday. Because how do you show up at night? This party started at 2 p.m. And this was meant to start a bit earlier, but started at about 2-3. Maya showed up at night, like 9.
It was 7.
It was not 7. Because 7 is when we were getting into the house. And you did not show up when you were getting into the house. And if you know me, you know, like, my birthday is really important to me. And it's also very, like, I only have the people who are closest to me on that day. And, like, as much as Maya had communicated she would be late, she had not communicated she would be that late. And she didn't, like, update, like, when things were going on.
Yeah.
So I remember just feeling so mad. And I was like, you know what? So I'm not even going to, like, talk to you about this because you already know how I feel. So whatever.
I'm so sorry. Let me take this moment to apologize on camera. I'm sorry, Ngina.
Thank you.
But I was late for your birthday. I know it was not ideal. Do you know that I'm thinking back, I can't remember what I was doing. I knew I was going to be late and I didn't remember.
I can't tell you what you were doing.
But I can't remember what it was.
At some point in the day, you were with Yoguka.
Oh.
And then...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So the other thing that I think made me not want to address this any further is because when you got there and I was like, wow, Maya. And then I was like, the time, I was like, 8 p.m. And you said something like, Seto is going to be with Yoguka. And I was like, moving on to other people. And that is how I was like, okay. I was committed to having fun. So I was like, I'm not even going to deal with this. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. No, for real. I'm sorry. Let me tell you. I'm genuinely sorry for being late for your birthday. And I hope I didn't ruin your birthday. But I had a good ass time.
I mean, you can't. I think no one can ruin my birthday.
Period. I am
very committed to having an amazing time.
That
so
is the energy.
If you try, I will just either kick you out or block you off. So it didn't ruin my birthday.
But I'm still sorry that I contributed to a negative aspect on your birthday.
No. Thank you. I
won't be late for the next one.
Will you be invited for the next one? Not that I won't invite you as my friend. Like, will there be a party?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I won't be late if you have a party for any of your birthdays. I'm committing.
Thank you.
Look at me committing to the future.
Thank you.
I'm really working on that thing, because let me tell you, that thing is a proper sabotage. Even for work.
Yeah.
Personally, like, it's such a big struggle for me. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I wake up, I'll be up, but I just won't come out of bed.
I get it.
And I'm like, why am I, what's going on?
I get it.
Why am I, my Guka keeps telling me, what will that extra 2 seconds of sleep benefit you? Like, so now you slept for an extra 5 minutes and then?
I shall remember this.
You know what I mean?
I shall remember this on Monday.
And it's the worst thing is, it's a habit I'm really trying to kick, but am I kicking it? Because sometimes I think in my head, when someone says we're meeting at 10, 10 is when I start getting ready.
Yeah.
Which is like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Sweetie, you should have woken up at 7, if you know you're going to be slow.
Should I even made a mental note on how to like, how to deal with it moving forward?
Wow, let me tell you, it's not a joke. Yeah. And I'm really, really trying. Like, I've even gotten a warning at work before.
The
last one. Yeah. Because it was just like, sweetie, why are you never here? Why are you like, why do you get here when you want?
Yeah.
Because you
show up. Trust me.
I need to change. No, for real. But then, you know, that's a title I don't want to identify with anymore.
We are dropping it. Like, we have spoken about it today, but for this year, dropping it. Yeah.
In my goals for this year, one of the goals, because you know, we were doing quarterly goals with some of my friends, and one of the goals was time management.
Yeah.
And then literally we even put steps, laying out your clothes before the night before, planning your week the night before. Because what is the reason? What is the reason? And I feel like now that's a problem. The fact that it spills over to other parts of my life is what I hate the most. You know, if you're only late for work, it's very different, because maybe you're just not passionate about your job.
Yeah.
But then if you're late for even things you're passionate about, like the podcast, it's like, sweetie, what do you want with your life?
Yeah.
Honestly. And I'm speaking to all the latecomers like me. We need to do better. And then also, it's not, I think the worst thing, you know, the reason why the self-sabotage continues is because nothing, there's no consequence to my actions. Like with my friends, there are certain friends I'd never be late for, because sita kupata hapo.
You know, that's actually, I was thinking about this, no offense, Maya, but I was thinking about this before I came here.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, if I get here and then it's like the last time we shot, you were a bit late. And you're late by the same number of hours, I would have come, done my thing with Brandon. When I say done my thing, I mean like shoot content. Like, we would have shot videos for Money Moves.
Yeah.
And I would have gone. You would actually have not found me. And I've gone about my day.
That's the thing.
Because then I realized I was also playing a part. Because I, as much as I am like, because the last time what happened was, you brought me something to eat. And I was like, yeah, I'm contributing to this. If she knows, she can bring me this and I'll just not say anything about it.
It's manipulation.
It's giving, I'm allowing myself to be manipulated by food.
I mean, you are. Is it not the easiest way?
Not a lot. Stop telling all my secrets. Because I can't be bought by a plate of food.
It's
true, though. Like, even
I think the lack of consequence. Because not even like my previous place, the reason why it didn't really affect me is because I'm not the only one who's late. One, two. I can still do my work. And you get what I mean? The lack of consequence. Yeah. But there are certain people I would never be late for. I'd never, like, I was meeting my family friend who's in her 40s last Saturday. Tell me why I was there on time. Or when it depends on who I'm meeting.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm meeting us and we are all boys and I know my friends also, na time. Pia wao,
tuko same side. But then there's one thing about, with our friend group, I give us an hour.
Yeah.
Then there's 5 hours late.
Yeah, that's disrespectful. It's actually problematic.
I even think, no, on the same thing, I also have the same issue, not with time really, but like, my time is not as bad.
Yeah.
But my procrastination is.
Yeah.
Especially when I know I need to do something at a certain time. And because I'm self-employed, because the consequence is me, and the consequence is, I guess, only hurting me. If it's hurting my money, it's hurting my pocket only. It's hard to develop a direct consequence if it's not someone else.
Okay.
And I'm not at it. I don't have a child. I don't have anyone to feed.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, it's just going to affect me.
So you're here just extending grace. You keep extending grace to yourself.
It's like, I keep extending grace. Keep understanding. And I need to stop understanding.
You need to stop understanding yourself.
I need to stop understanding. So I'll tell you this. Having an accountability partner helps.
Really helps.
It really, really helps. Because the consequence, for me, disappointing someone is enough of a consequence.
Okay.
For me, showing up, like, seeing someone being disappointed in the fact that I chose to do something at a certain time and not another time, and I don't have a good reason for it. And just seeing that they had a certain expectation of me that I didn't meet. Obviously, this has a lot to do with my wanting of validation, but I can tap into that and become a better person. Even if the person, there's no direct hat and chapa, they're not going to do anything bad to me, but just seeing the disappointment in someone else's face is enough to make me do better.
I hear you. I think I'm usually early to work when I have like someone who slept over, which is so funny because I'm just like, I need to wake up. I need to do this. I need to leave this house by this time. It's almost like even when my parents are home, it's easier for me to get to work on time than when they're not home.
I get it, same.
I think an accountability. Okay, then I will invest in an accountability partner because I can't keep chomaing like this. It's embarrassing. I think the problem with my accountability partners right now, they are also late people. I need someone who's not like me.
Yeah, you need someone who's not like you, one, and you need someone who you respect.
Okay.
Because if you don't, like, you respect enough to be like, yeah, I don't want to disappoint you.
Exactly.
Yeah, because with your kawaida friend, like, you respect me, but you probably don't care if you disappoint me or not. If you're late for work,
it's my employment. Yeah. But you know, my shushu was like, if you lose your job from being late, move out.
My parents would not. I think there would be a long period of time when they wouldn't talk to me if I lost a job because of being late.
So now, me, I was told, I think it's because nothing, like, I was at places where it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
But now I'm at a place where it's a really big deal. So my shushu was like, if you lose your job from this, please don't come home. Like, if you come home, pack your shit and leave.
Damn.
I said,
damn. Anyway, we need to start this episode. So to count to self-sabotage, I think one, therapy helps. But when therapy is not the first option you have because of finances and other things, you need to journal and be self-aware. Like, find out what areas are you self-sabotaging in and how can you get better at it. The more aware you are, the more conscious you are of there being a need for a solution to a particular area in your life.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what I would say. So the self-awareness thing.
I think my point would be, I think it ties into what you've said about time.
Mm-hmm.
Ties into what you said about time. About being aware.
Mm.
So because the first thing to solving a problem is identifying it.
Yes.
So identify your self-sabotage mechanisms, because maybe it's linked into your life and you can't tell. You need to identify it first. And then I think, take baby steps, not baby steps, but set out practical, achievable steps to
SMART goals.
You know, forget it.
SMART, attainable, reasonable, time-conscious goals.
Yeah. So if it's, you need to, I'm trying to think of ourselves, you're seeing someone you don't need to be seeing and you want to, maybe not even seeing, even a friendship.
I even think you need to ask yourself why for a lot of things.
There's a lot of, find out your why, but also, now what steps are you going to do to make it less? You're not going to wake up and be like, okay, I'm never going to talk to this person again, and you're talking to them for...
She's not going to do that. I think people struggle with different things. As soon as I realize I need to cut someone off my life,
I think it depends on the person being cut off.
It depends on the why we are cutting them off.
Yes.
It depends on the why we are cutting them off. If there's a big enough reason why,
then you need to cut them off immediately. Yeah. Pronto. If it's you're benefiting from the situation,
it's so harder.
You're trying to wean yourself off something. Mm. It's like with drugs. Mm. Actually, maybe that would be a good example. Mm-hmm. If you're doing drugs,
you all could relate.
Uh-huh. If you're doing drugs and you're trying to cut off your habit, it could move from you're drinking 2 bottles of wine to 1 a day, or from 1 bottle of wine to a glass, then to a shot, then to not doing it at all. You know what I mean? Those are practical goals, like OCG, set and realistic goals, knowing your personality, and you know you'll fail. Because you'll stop feeling like it's a consequence.
Yeah.
Because you're so used to disappointing yourself that it doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. And that will contribute to you continuing doing the thing.
This is why I'm anti-New Year's resolutions. Because they usually don't take into account who you are as a person.
In that moment.
Like, all of a sudden, you won't start doing the things you were not doing last year because a date changed. If you're going to progressively work on yourself, let it be progressive and let it be also long-term. And with that,
I agree. 110%. I think we're on the same page.
Yeah. Sorry, I came for you. I still love you very much.
It's okay. It's never that serious. I mean, it's serious. But no, like, I've not got.
Okay.
I need friends to hold me accountable. And friends to tell me my flaws.
Hold you accountable and not be bribed by food.
That's not going to work.
That's it from us today.
Thank you so much for joining us. Please follow us on our socials at Nairobi Sisterhood and on our personal socials at I am Mush- and not me saying your handle instead of mine.
Okay.
And my personal handle at Maya Mushemi and
at I am Gina.
Yes. And please listen to us on all socials for real. Like what nini podcast platforms, YouTube, love, subscribe, share. Aki, they go a long way.
Yeah, thank and you. You're on every social media channel.
Yes.
Yeah, Instagram, TikTok at Nairobi Sisterhood, everywhere. Yeah, and I'm gonna plug my business. It will probably come on here somewhere. Okay, that's it.
Oh, you wanted me to say something else?
Say the name for the people who are audio listeners.
Okay, sorry. Money Moves KE. We are a financial literacy brand. We coach, teach, and have digital products on financial literacy.
Par.
Period. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.